podcast uses profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to Helen Hills Podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And hello.
Hi.
Welcome. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I feel like every time we start, it's awkward.
We always just sit here and say hi to each other until we're ready to actually have a discussion, because we just had a discussion before the discussion.
And but I never know, like, who's going to talk. Like, do you have something you really need to say? Because then I don't want to go first.
Well, I mean, normally I try to ask how you are, but sometimes we just kind of get going. But what normally happens, because we don't say hi when we get on. Like, we do not say hi.
Today.
I got on because I was running a little late. I got on and I was like, I'm here. I can't hear you though. Couldn't see my screen, so I couldn't tell what she was doing. So I have Amanda freaking out because she's like, oh, my microphone's not working. But my headphones just weren't on.
Yeah, that was kind of mean on your part.
Say hello. I did. And this is the first time I said hi.
Yeah, we get on, we talk for about half an hour, and then we start and we're like, hey, how are you?
Yeah, we then say hi. Yeah.
Like, first, I really got to get this off my chest.
You know, the things that we can't share with the world, like Amanda's banking industry secrets, you know, that type of stuff, we just get that off our chest beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Anybody I have to complain about, basically.
That we can't record. Same.
Yeah.
I complain about my dad publicly, so we know it's not him.
Is it a complaint, though? Yeah, never mind.
Look, my dad's great and all, but sometimes I need him just to stay on my side, okay?
Sometimes we want to stay in a haunted hotel. I mean,
sometimes we just want to buy the haunted hotel.
That would be, honestly, that would be a great opportunity. Like, this is a good investment.
It's a great investment. And yeah. Nicolas Cage owned it at one point. Like, look at what we have. Opportunities galore.
Just saying.
Anyways, how are you?
I'm freaking tired. Annie had a birthday party today. And kids are just a lot of work. And especially mine. But it was fun. We went to the park. She played in the
splash pad?
In the splash pad.
Okay.
I said that right the first time.
Are you sure?
No.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes.
We were there for a couple hours, and I get home and I'm like, God, I'm really tired. Like, Lee went right to sleep, which, I mean, we come home like just in time for his nap anyway. And Annie was just like being really cuddly and calm. And then James said something, and I looked at the weather and I was like, oh, there's a heat advisory today. It said to stay indoors.
Oh, yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah. So maybe it had something to do with it being like triple digit stupid degrees, but we had fun and we weren't the only people at the park and the kids are fine. So
they're fine. They survived.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also heard you neglected Danny today.
Y'all, I really, every day that goes by that CPS doesn't knock on my door is a blessing, because the child just never gets anything.
Where did she get two donuts or just one?
Oh, she got a tiny, like a box of pink iced donut holes with sprinkles.
Okay. Acceptable. Mm-hmm. So I won't call CPS tonight.
I had a croissant and a blueberry cake donut, which I feel like you kind of take those for granted when you're younger. At least I did. And then as soon as I hit 30, I was like, give me one of them blueberry cakes. I'm an adult now, and I would love that donut.
I am an adult, and I will still take my chocolate with sprinkles. Okay. Don't give me any blueberry bullshit. No, thank you. I also don't like blueberries, so, you know.
Oh. You don't like anything.
Yeah, I don't like you either.
That's fine. I'm okay with it. We're still here.
We're still surviving.
I don't know if I've told you about this before, but James would probably highly suggest chocolate gravy. Have you ever heard of that?
I think it's the gravy part that's throwing me off.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I assume definitely. It's not like salty. I assume it's more like a chocolate dip.
Yes. but we're in the South, right? So we slather biscuits in gravy. And that is a huge thing here. Like, I call it weird, and six people turn around and hiss at me.
I would try the chocolate gravy on a biscuit. I would try it.
It's not bad. It's just not what I think. Like, I'm not that big of a sweets person, but Arkansas is serious about its chocolate.
I would probably prefer, like, the sausage gravy over it, because, you know, biscuits and gravy, it's just delicious. I'll try it.
Yeah, it is good. And it's basically just a thick chocolate sauce.
Yeah, that's what I assume. So yeah, I try it.
You should try that one day.
Okay. Well, I have a story for you about my morning. It's about this heifer right here.
Oh. What did he do?
He started our morning off real shitty.
In the house?
Literally in the baby's room. Okay, let me preface this by saying last night, he was also a pain in the ass. Cody was changing a baby, and we change the babies on the floor. We just have like a little blanket or a changing pad. We change them on the floor, okay?
Yeah.
Fine. Dogs are normally in there, but we can normally kind of push the dogs away. Something was happening. It was Maisie in this one. We're fighting over a bone. He got the bone and went to run around Cody, and Cody was trying to push him. He almost stepped on one of the babies. Ooh, I could have killed him.
Oh.
Cody freaking threw him across the room. He did not throw him. He manhandled him across the room. And obviously the baby, and it wasn't even that he almost stepped on him. It's that he went to go lay. Like, when he lays with me and Cody, he likes to press himself up against us. So he went to go do that with the baby. And he doesn't, you know, he was not going to happen. It wasn't going to work. And I was feeding the other baby at the time. So I was like,
everybody's just floundering.
Just a nightmare. So he did that bullshit last night, and then this morning he's pacing in the house, and I'm like, okay, he's got to go to the bathroom. So I get up, and when I get up, I walk by the baby's room. He's popping a squat
in the room,
like in the room.
Oh, what are you doing?
Two rooms with carpet. He chose one of the two rooms with carpet.
Is he feeling some anxiety about the babies?
I think so. He has a little bit of diarrhea. I made Cody clean it up. And he's kind of, sorry, I couldn't see Maisie. I could just see her butt. And I couldn't tell if she was popping a squat. And he's a walker. He's a poop walker.
Oh, poor boy. And I mean Cody for having to clean it up.
I took the babies out because it stunk so bad. I was like, we're going to the living room. I know you guys aren't awake yet, but I'm not making... Oh, it was so bad. Oh, that's how our morning started. God, that's the worst.
What time was this?
7.
Okay. That's not bad then. As long as it wasn't like 3 or 4.
No. I mean, I was awake at 3, but that's because I was feeding a child. Oh, the other thing. I already told you about this, didn't I?
Through text messages?
Yeah, JJ slept. This was a fluke. Bentley, stop it. This was a fluke. At least I think it's a fluke. JJ slept for 10 hours straight.
Is he okay?
He's fine. He is fine. We gave him a high volume for bed the night he did that. It was a couple nights ago. A high volume of food, because we always do. We always give them a little bit of extra food at night so they sleep a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's...
We gave him his... Leo had his. I woke up with Leo, but I was like, I just want to see how long he sleeps. I just want to see how long JJ sleeps. So I left him. I went and laid back down. I even had the monitor in my hand waiting for him to wake up because I thought, oh, he'll be up within the hour, within an hour.
Yeah.
Wake up till 7. And like, we have the owlets on him, so I knew everything was fine.
Is it Christmas?
Oh, he didn't do that last night. Oh, it's fine. Sorry. He did sleep longer last night. He slept until 4 last night, 4 in the morning. Which, pretty good for him. Pretty good. But threw me off. I didn't know. I think it was just he had a really long day. I wouldn't let him sleep at grandma's house.
Oh, poor thing.
I mean, I don't let either of them sleep at grandma's house. Keep their asses awake. As Cody's sister and cousins are trying to rock him to sleep, keep his ass awake. I mean, mom, keep his ass awake.
Fine. Hey, they sleep though.
Yeah. Every Thursday, we're going to have some great naps. Great nights. Okay. Anyways. So, yeah, that's my That's my story about this heifer right here. I could have killed him. I didn't let him pace very long. He was pacing, and it took me a second to be like, okay, he's pacing because he needs to go out. I didn't even know who it was.
Yeah.
Okay, he's pacing because he needs to go out. I need to sit up. Sat up. I maybe stretched my back for a second, and then I walked over, popping a squat.
Oh. He's not having a good day, it sounds like.
He's not having a good 24 hours. Cody won't even talk to him because he's still upset.
Well, I mean, he had to clean it, so.
I told him I would. That. I just needed to move babies out.
Yeah.
He cleaned it. It was even better. I always tell him I will, but I also know he will.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But that's my story. The last thing is JJ and Leo met great-grandma on my side. It was good. We went down south to visit my grandma who lives southern Utah. First of all, it was, when I say we, I mean me and my mom. Cody wasn't invited because Cody had to work. Over weekends. But me and my mom went, and the boys actually did really well. We only had to stop once on the way there, and it's about a 3 to 4 hour drive, sometimes 5, depending on traffic.
Okay.
We only stopped the once on the way there. They slept the rest of the time. We got to my grandma's house, fed them, all that fun stuff. JJ, apparently I effed it up for JJ. Because he was so sick. He was so spit uppy the entire week. No. It was so bad. Amanda, this is my Mexican grandma. I was eating spicier food than normal. They get breast milk from me. It was my fault.
That did not even occur to me.
Yeah. Because I got home. He's fine. Like, he still does his normal amount of spit up. Like, he's always been a colicky, spit uppy boy.
Yeah.
Not to the extent of that weekend. And let me just explain. We got to my grandma's house, and there was a bowl of guacamole waiting for us.
Sounds wonderful. Your grandma's an angel.
Oh, she is, for sure. I'm just telling you, I made my children sick. Well, at least JJ. Leo did okay. He was fine. But let me just tell you the best part. Grandma, bless her heart. We're sitting at the table playing cards. And she's got Leo. I don't know where JJ is. Someone's holding him. She's got Leo, though. And how she has him is she's, you know, holding him like a baby, but the swaddle isn't wrapped around him. I had thrown it on top of him.
Okay.
And he starts pushing like he's pooping. Okay. And you can hear it. They're wet ones. And she's just keeps saying, let him finish. I look over, Amanda, and I can see it up the back of his onesie. I was like, oh, grandma, no, I can see it. My grandma, where?
Oh, no.
She said she was trying to put the swaddle around it so that it was not going to get anywhere. I was like, grandma, the swaddle's on top of him. It's not going around it.
Oh, no.
It was pretty funny. Because I had stood up like, no, grandma, I can see it.
Yeah.
Put her hand in it.
Oh, no.
It was pretty funny, though.
There's another story. There you go. For his future wife at their wedding in front of everybody.
Yeah, your great grandma put her hand in your poop.
Oh, I was going to say you pooped on your great grandma, but your version you works did. Too.
He poops on me all the time. Literally, I will change his butt. This is what he likes to do. I change his butt, start feeding him. He'll pause to push. I'm like, you little asshole.
I hate your
butt.
The double diapers.
Oh, there are triple diapers some days. Triple. I am not shitting you when I say he's a shitty boy. He shits all the time.
Hey, we have feelings too.
You can relate a little bit better than I can, okay? All the time. I'm not kidding. Last night was a triple diaper night. I changed his butt. He had poop in it. He had poop in the diaper. I sat down, plugged him in, started feeding him. He pushes. Farts, and I just stopped feeding him, and I'm looking at Cody like, okay. And I can't let it sit because it's gonna start coming out because he's still pushing. So I let him push for a couple minutes. I keep checking, making sure he's not like blown out anywhere. Finally change him. I sit down. He's towards the end of his bottle. Lets one more out. I'm like, I just changed you. So I made him finish his bottle in a poopy diaper.
Hey, you had to make sure he was done because obviously he wasn't.
Clearly. My fault. It's clearly my fault. I might have also given him too much prune juice. It's fine.
So you burned his esophagus and gave him a diuretic?
He was fine. They've been on prune juice, first of all. Leo loved the spice, okay? He had zero issues. That was JJ. Thank you very much. Secondly, they've been on prune juice for a minute, okay? All it is, I was a little heavy-handed a couple days ago, and now it's catching up. I'm sorry. Sue me.
Don't tell me. Tell him.
Good God. I made sure to measure it out since then. Hot damn. They're not getting more than what they need or what they're supposed to. But now they're getting less than what they probably need. Anyways, that's the story. So, in case you're wondering, Leo pooped on great-grandma.
And I bet she still loved every minute of it.
Oh, she did. Up until she had to wash her hand. And then we had to wash his clothes.
Okay, so you did get to keep the clothes at least? Because there were some I have not closed. Not like with Annie. Nope, just throw it out.
I think we got it in the washer soon enough. It was fine.
Okay.
And it wasn't bad. It was like, okay, it's just starting to come out. And then she kind of smushed it out with her hand, you know?
Yeah, she stopped it.
It was her fault, so. Anyways. That's my story. That's how it was. Questions, comments, concerns, I don't take complaints.
I mean, I think I've already voiced the concerns. About the food. Oh, I can't get my words together. I'm
fine.
Sorry. I'm not voicing. I said I've already voiced them. So yeah, that part's done. I'm glad y'all had a good weekend though.
It's good.
I am.
It's always hard leaving my grandma's house though, because I'm like, I want to stay. I want you to come with grandma, come home. But she can't come up north for medical purposes. So what my whole family should do is we should all just move south.
Yeah.
All of them, extended family included. Everyone moving south.
Build a compound.
Done.
Yeah. Southern Utah. There's tons of compounds already there. You could probably buy one that a church used to use.
I was going to say Southern Utah. There's compounds there. We'd probably blend in. We could not blend in. We would not blend in at all. They'd be like, please leave our property. No.
Sir, I bought it. That's too late now.
Like, you're not a sister wife. Clearly, okay? Where's your brother husband? What do you want me to do?
I don't share. Sorry. Not sorry.
You get two, I get two. Those are the rules. That's how you keep a marriage equal, okay?
I mean, you're not wrong. It's, like, literally equal.
I mean, I don't want a second husband. Trust me on that one. But if I can have someone clean the house for me all the time, that'd be great.
Done. Yeah, honestly.
I would prefer.
Actually, I might allow a second wife now that you say that. I don't have to get another husband and I can just have someone to clean the house and stuff. Hold on.
Okay, acceptable.
Me and James might be talking tonight.
Well, would you like to talk tonight also about our socials?
I would love to.
Okay, we have them. We have Facebook, Instagram, Helen Hills Podcast, X, formerly Twitter, Helen Hills Pod, all of those. Amanda is caught up on pictures. So all of the pictures from all of the episodes are posted. Dad, I don't want to hear shit because this episode is airing after we're saying she's caught up. So if she gets behind again, don't come at me, okay? I get a lot of shit from my dad that I just ignore and don't pass on to you. Anyways.
I appreciate that. Doing the Lord's work.
Anyways, so we have all of those. We post all of the pictures. We have our Discord if you want to jump on Discord. Shit talk with us. We have our Patreon if you want to join us on Patreon. Support us that way. We also have our email if you have questions, comments, concerns, suggestions. We do love suggestions. Amanda just started laughing. I was trying to tell you about our email because we have an email. hellonheelspodcast@gmail.com. And Amanda's just laughing.
It's not funny. But I had to sneeze. And I was like, oh, God, please don't sneeze. Because if I sneeze, I'm going to sneeze directly into the microphone. And just the image that popped into my head was funny.
What's even better is you just turn your head and don't sneeze directly into the microphone. You're mobile and the microphone's mobile. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and move on. Just as a reminder for everyone, if you do enjoy listening to us and the shows that we release, make sure to tell friends, family, whoever about our podcast so that we can continue to grow and continue to release episodes for you guys. And then other than that, do you have anything else to share?
Just that I feel like we're in for one today. Is that right?
Do you know my story?
No, I just know your father.
Oh, he saw that it was a podfather request. Okay. Yeah, so it is a podfather request. Dad is, you recently asked me about this, Dad, as in you told me about it, you called me, and then I said text me, and now here we are. This was like a week ago that we had this conversation, so I don't want to hear any shit that I don't do your suggestions, Dad. I put them all on the spreadsheet, okay? I put them all on the spreadsheet.
He has his own, like,
category. We have a whole category that is Podfather Request. You're welcome. Anyways, so have you ever heard about Gary Plowshay or Jody Plowshay?
Yes. It kind of sounded familiar, but I know exactly what this story is because of that one photo.
I knew I shouldn't have put that picture in. Yep. I knew it. Mm-hmm. Ugh, shouldn't put it in. Yep. I knew I shouldn't have.
And you beat me to this story, actually, because James has asked me to do this. So,
Got it. It wasn't on the spreadsheet. So we're going to actually talk about Gary Plowshay, Jeffrey Dossett, and Jody Plowshay. So Jody Plowshay, he was born on April 27th, 1972. He was born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. His family consisted of Gary Plowshay, his father, who was actually born November 10th, 1948. His father was a retired U.S. Air Force man. At least I assume he was retired because he was in the Air Force, but no longer was. Maybe he just never re-enlisted. I don't know. But he is no longer in the Air Force. He begins working as a salesman, and he's also working as a cameraman, is what some sources said, for a local news station. He is married to June Plowshay. It is unclear her birthday and her background. And then they have four kids total. So Jody has three siblings. So they seem to really have a normal life. No abuse, no family issues, no violent ones. His parents, however, Gary and June, were separated for some time. I didn't get clarity on if they officially divorced, ever got back together, anything like that. I just have, they were separated sometime before 1984. Seemed like they were divorced. Now, when Jody was about 10 years old, he would be enrolled in karate lessons. The specific type was Hapkido. No idea, but that's what it was. From what I could find, his brother was also enrolled in these classes and possibly another sibling. So in total, three of the four Plowshay kids were trusted in these classes with a man named Jeffrey Dossett. Now, Jeffrey is the karate instructor. It's his dojo. He's in charge. Jeffrey, he's very trusted in the community. The kids love him. The kids love going to the dojo after school. Not just the Plowshays, but all the kids. They just love it. And there's not a lot that I could find about Jeffrey Dossett's early life. Most of the information I could find stated he potentially had a difficult childhood. He grew up in Texas with possibly six siblings. And according to Jeffrey Dossett, he was molested as a child.
Oh.
So, I mean, not a great one. Again, we can't find a lot of background on him. There's several reasons. One very specific that we'll get into as to why we don't have background on him and why we'll never have background on him. We know he's about 25 years old. He's at least mid-20s. He is an ex-Marine, according to some sources. All around, people think he's a great guy. Like, he's a great instructor. A lot of people say that he helped, like, whip the Plowshay boys into shape. Some stated it was, like, the disciplinary, like, he was just kind of, I don't want to say a father figure, but he was, like, that stern male figure where he was, you know, they were doing the karate lessons. He was doing whatever, and they were kind of behaving better. Others say he whipped him into shape just for karate purposes. So it kind of depends on what source you're looking at there. But I mean, he was apparently a good instructor, because he would actually help Jody win a trophy in a competition in Texas under his coaching. So like he's doing well. I mean, Jody was so focused on karate, he even quit football and basketball to spend more time at the dojo.
Okay. So he enjoyed it too. He really liked it.
He was enjoying it. Now Jody, he's about 10, 11. So he's 10 years old when he's first enrolled, but he would become very close to Jeffrey Dossett. Some sources stating Jeffrey considered him, or he considered Jeffrey his best friend. According to sources, Jody would tell his school newspaper in 1983 that Dossett was, quote, he's all of our best friend. So, like, he thinks highly of him. Now, as Jody and Jeffrey's friendship bloom, some start pushing some boundaries.
Quick question, I'm sorry. How old is Jody right now when they're best friends?
10 to 11.
That doesn't feel good. Like, you're 25, sir. What business do you have?
It's not Jeffrey saying, like, best friends. It's Jody.
And yeah, that's Jody's, what makes me uncomfortable.
I think Jody's the kid.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm always, like, unless you're in, like, a big brother, you know, like, hello? The big brother, big sister thing.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're in that kind of program, is the word I was looking for, why are you so close to a 10-year-old as a 25-year-old?
I mean, hold on, though. That could be a 10-year-old's perception, right? Like, oh, Jeffrey's my best friend, but Jeffrey could be like, he's just one of the kids in my dojo.
Okay. Okay.
Fair. That's why I kind of was like, but Jody's the 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened, because we're going to quickly get into what's going on. But I'm just saying, like, as a 10-year-old, their perception could be different. Like, they could say, oh, you're my best friend, because they really enjoy, or, you know, whatever, that person's engaging with them. Whereas that person's just good with kids and is like, my best friend's over in Arkansas.
Yeah. I see you on Thursday nights. Calm down.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
So that's, I'm just going to say that's not as weird. If it was the 25-year-old being like, yeah, 10-year-old is my best friend, that's where I'm like, ew.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good point.
So as I mentioned, someone's going to start pushing some boundaries real quick. According to Jody, Jeffrey would offer to teach him how to drive. And as a 10, 11-year-old boy, hell yeah, of course he wants to get behind the wheel. And when Jody was sitting on Jeffrey's lap, learning how to drive, he would recall feeling his quote unquote friend and teacher's hands in his lap. And he would later recount that Dossett was just testing boundaries. He also would start focusing more on Jody. They would do stretches where he could use his position to begin essentially fondling him. But then using it, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, or, you know, whatever his excuse was.
I hate it. I'm so uncomfortable.
Testing boundaries. It gets worse. But,
oh, God.
On February 14th, 1984... Jeffrey would pick up Jody from his mother's home, his mother June's home. He would tell her that either he would tell her that he was going to take the 11-year-old, they were going to go on a cruise, or that they were going to go look at carpet that was being placed in either his home or his brother's home. And he tells the family this under the pretext that they'd be back in like 15-ish minutes. And the family does trust him at this point. Like, he's been invited to family dinners.
Yeah. And he's a coach, regardless of like being a big part of this guy's life. I feel like that's semi-normal. You invite your coach.
So, you know, like he's close. So when he's like, oh, we'll be back in 15 minutes, like go on a ride. His mom didn't think anything of it.
Quick question. When you say cruise, you mean in the car?
Yes. In the car.
Okay.
Cruising the streets. Not my type of cruise.
Yeah. Hearing you talking about a different type of cruise was strange, and that's why I had to be like, let me just make sure.
Yeah, that threw you off. I get it. It's okay. Anyways, after that, Jody and Jeffrey would disappear. More specifically, Jeffrey, the karate instructor, he kidnaps Jody. Jeffrey Doucette would end up on a bus headed for Anaheim, California. Jeffrey would shave his beard and he would force Jody to dye his blonde hair black. Reports state that this was an attempt to make Jody pass as his own son just to stay under the radar. Now, I will say there are also reports that this was a timing thing, that Jeffrey Doucette was supposed to be going to court for bad checks. Instead of facing that, he was like, let's go, Jody. Now, once in Anaheim, California, Jeffrey would check them into a motel. And Jeffrey would sexually assault and molest Jody. Now, unfortunately, this is not new for Jody. Reports state that Jeffrey had been molesting Jody for possibly a year prior, or up to a year prior to this point.
Oh my God.
Jody had kept quiet about the abuse and sexual assault in fear of upsetting his parents, because he said he knew. He knew it would upset them. He also didn't want what he believed his friend, he didn't want Doucette getting in trouble, and he was also 10 years old.
Right, yeah.
So, he didn't say anything. Now, there are reports that state Jeffrey was like, hey, Jody, want to go to California? And Jody was like, yeah. Keep in mind, he's 11 years old at this point. He is 11 years old. But that doesn't give Jeffrey any consent or right to take him.
Right, yeah. Of course.
And let's just, a manhunt very quickly ensues. It's a nationwide search. They had gotten sources, specifically Jeffrey Doucette's mother said that they were headed for New York because that is what Jeffrey told her. On their way to Anaheim, California from Louisiana, they stopped at his mom's house in Texas, and he essentially tells her, oh, I'm dropping him off in Louisiana on my way to New York, when in reality, he was going the opposite direction. So he's intentionally trying to throw people off of his trail.
Right, yeah.
Now, eventually, the search would end after 10 days when Jeffrey would make a mistake. I don't consider it a mistake. I just consider him being a dumbass. But Jeffrey would allow Jody to make a collect call to his mom from the motel. And the call was traced back to the motel by police.
Yeah, I don't think that was a mistake. I think he's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, if you have kidnapped someone, let him make a collect call. Have fun.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. So California police would raid the motel on February 29th, 1984, and they would successfully apprehend Jeffrey Doucette and take Jody to a safe space. Jody would very quickly be reunited with his family, back in Louisiana on March 1st, 1984. And there is that picture in there. Let me figure out which one it is, because I didn't label anything. It is the one that says Gary Plowshow, Jody June, where he's clearly being held by his mother and his dad's tussling his hair.
Oh, my heart. Yeah. Like, the so dad that, tussling the hair just, like, gets me. And his hair's dyed.
Black. It's black.
Yeah. It's sad.
So, he's reunited. Now, Jody's father, Gary, would state that during the time that Jody was missing, he would say, we didn't know what to do. We just felt helpless. And Gary would begin to hear more and more reports that Jody had been molested. And that's kind of stewing in him. And then it's confirmed when there's like a rape kit done that confirmed the sexual abuse.
Mm.
Now, keep in mind, Gary's getting a lot of this information because sources state that one of the police officers involved was a close friend with Gary. So he's trying to give Gary information, not with any intent other than to say, hey, be prepared. This is what we found. These are the next steps, that type of thing. Like, he wasn't.
Is that allowed? Or police officers allowed to work on cases when they have that much like stake in it, when they're that close to it?
Oh, it's 1984.
Oh, so yeah, probably.
That's fine. So Jeffrey, he is detained in California, but quickly extradited back to Louisiana. On March 16th, 1984, Jeffrey Scumbag Doucette is flown back to Louisiana, where he will be facing trial. They arrive in the Baton Rouge Metropolitan Airport around 9:30 p.m. is about when this happens, and police lead the handcuffed Doucette through the airport. Media had gotten a tip. WBRZ-TV had sent news crews to record his arrival. So there is a crew set up trying to watch his arrival. And as police escort Jeffrey Doucette through the airport, they pass the news crew, and as he's walking past the film crew, a gunshot would ring through the air. Jeffrey Dossett would be shot from the right at point-blank range to the head. Police very quickly jump into action. I mean, Jeffrey Dossett has fallen to the ground. The man that had shot Jeffrey Dossett would place the phone receiver down from the phone booth that he was in. An officer would restrain him. They would remove the gun from his possession. The officer restraining the man could be heard stating, "Gary, why? Why, Gary?" And the man would answer, "If somebody did it to your kid, you'd do it too." Larry Plouchet had taken justice into his own hands and shot his son's kidnapper and abuser.
I just got full body chills. Like,
I know. Gary had gotten a tip from an employee of WBRZ about when Dossett would be at the airport.
He was a cameraman, right? So he had friends who...
That's what some reports stated, is that he formerly was a cameraman for a local TV station, but I didn't get confirmation which one, how long, if he still was, how many connections he had there still. But there are reports that state that he was at a bar having a drink the night that Jeffrey Dossett was pulling back in Louisiana, and he happened to overhear a news executive state that he would be arriving on the Baton Rouge, or arriving in Baton Rouge at 9:08 p.m. on American Airlines flight 595. Overheard it by chance.
That's a lot of very specific information to overhear casually at a bar.
Yeah. However, other people say he got a tip from an employee. So it's not clear if it was like he got an accidental tip from an employee or what. But as soon as he hears this, he heads to the airport. He is wearing a baseball cap and sunglasses as a disguise. Let's just remember, glasses work for Superman, okay? Disguise works, okay? And when he got to the airport, he ends up situated at a payphone. And it's actually like a bank of payphones along a wall. For those of you youngins, phones used to be connected to the wall, okay? The wall. A whole line of phones, you put your quarter in, you make your call, and you stuck there. You don't move, okay?
What a wild time we used to live in.
Right. Now, this bank of payphones happened to be situated opposite where the news crew was. During this time, Gary would call his best friend, and he would talk to him while he waited. And he would actually tell his friend, like, "I'm gonna kill this mofo." According to reports, he seemed to kind of talk his friend through everything that was happening. He'd be like, "Here he comes." And he even reportedly said, "You're about to hear a shot." Like, he's talking about what's happening. Now, when Gary saw Jeffrey Dossett, he was close enough he could draw his gun from his boot and shoot him point-blank range. There is, I believe, a picture. Let me double-check. Yes, the third picture. That is him turning to shoot.
And you can see the gun, too. You can see the gun. You can see the payphone in his hand.
Point-blank range. He's not missing that shot.
No. He's maybe a little over arm's length away.
Uh-huh. He's right there.
Yeah.
Now, the entire incident was captured on camera. Actually shown live to thousands of people.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, the shot did not immediately kill Jeffrey Dossett. Dossett, however you want to say it. I don't want to say it right. I want to say it wrong because I hate it.
I say Douche. That's me.
Douche. You're correct. So he is rushed to the hospital. He falls into a temporary coma, but he would pass the following day on March 17th. So it did not take him long. So now Gary Plouchet, he is originally arrested for attempted murder, second-degree attempted murder. That is changed when Jeffrey dies. And it is now second-degree murder. So he's evaluated by psychologists, and what they would find is that after he found that his son Jody had been being abused for possibly up to a year prior to his abduction, that essentially, and how I'm going to say it, Gary Plouchet had a mental breakdown. He did. Psychiatrist Edward P. Uzi would determine that Gary, at that time, could not tell the difference between right and wrong. He could not tell the difference. He was so out of his mind. Gary had made a statement that when he heard reports that Jeffrey Dossett had abused and sexually assaulted his son, he felt that helplessness and he didn't know how to deal with the situation. So reportedly, Gary would also tell his attorney, Foxy Sanders, "I don't want him to do it to other kids. And he would tell her that the voice of Christ had compelled him to pull the trigger. So it sounds like he's really having a mental break. So the defense team would argue that Plouchet was driven to a temporary psychotic state. In addition, psychiatrist Uzi, he would determine that Jeffrey Desset had manipulated and taken advantage of the fact that the Plouchets were separated at the time. So he's kind of able to like wiggle his little worm-like way into the family and manipulate them a little bit more. And that could have potentially increased the psychotic state that Gary was in or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So with all of this information, Gary Plouchet, he's offered a plea deal. And he would plead no contest to manslaughter. Judge Frank Saya would sentence him to 7 years, but this is a suspended sentence. He had 5 years probation and then 300 hours community service. So in total, he spent 30 nights in jail.
I'm fine with that. I'm not gonna lie.
Basically, he spent until it happened on a weekend, the Monday when he made bail. That was the last time he was in jail.
I hope he didn't miss any work. I hope he was able to just go right back to it.
All right. So the judge, he basically said sending Plouchet to prison wouldn't actually help anyone. He wasn't likely to reoffend. He was virtually no risk. There was no risk of him committing another crime, right? And so that is why he gave him that sentence, and he would complete his community service in 1989. He's fine. He's great. Now, this sentence did spark some debates with the public. Some people were like, hell yeah, he shouldn't spend a night in jail. He did the Lord's work, or whatever they want to say. Other people were like, murder is still murder, guys. And other people are like, well, I mean, I would have done it too. So you had a lot of public opinion on this one, where it was like back and forth. However, I do think that there was already a public opinion that he was essentially acquitted before he would have even gotten to trial, because people knew what had happened and it was such a big case. Mm-hmm. So the public's opinion, they had already acquitted him, right? Like, in their mindset. Now, as a reminder, the unexpected shot was aired live. You can find the video of the shooting on YouTube, no problem. I do have the video if you want to see it. It's like 20 seconds. I don't necessarily think I want you to watch it. It's more that I want you to hear the police officer when he's asking Gary why.
Yes. I do want to hear that. I'll watch it. Because that's actually, earlier when I said I got like full body chills, that was the part that gave me chills. That, and then Gary's response.
I mean, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So like, I don't.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't care if you watch it. I more just want you to hear like the reaction of the officer, because that to me, I was like, ooh. And you could hear the officer towards the end of that. Why, Gary? Why?
Yeah. And it's just to me, like, you know why.
You know damn well why.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, the first time I heard of this, I didn't even have kids yet. And I was like, yeah, I see that. I see temporary insanity. 100%. Uh-huh. And now that I have kids, I'm like, I'm honestly proud of him for stopping when he did. Because it would be so much easier to kill somebody like that in a worse way, I feel like. Say mm-hmm. what you will. But now that I have kids, I just feel like so much stronger about this case. I get it.
Rough.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about some of the aftermath, at least for Jody. He struggled with his dad's actions. Their relationship kind of took a hit due to the death of Jeffrey Desset.
Oh, God.
He was eventually able to work through it and forgive his dad, but he essentially said he didn't want Jeffrey dead. He just wanted him to stop.
So you're going to make me cry. Yeah, oh, my God.
He struggled. When he found out that it happened, he just went through a lot of emotions, because you got to remember, he's an 11-year-old. Yeah. That was his friend. Jail time was enough for the 11-year-old. He's going to jail. He's going to stop. Yeah. But my friend's still alive. But now that's gone.
Yeah, because it's not just an 11-year-old. It's a groomed 11-year-old.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So he's going to feel really strongly.
Yeah. So Jeffrey Plaget, he would go on to attend Louisiana State University, and according to his website, he would actually start his activism pretty early. While he was at LSU, he would serve on a board for Men Against Violence. It seemed like he was like an executive on this board. And then after graduation, he would work at the Victim Services Center of Montgomery County as a sexual assault counselor. He also wrote a book called Why Gary Why, published in 2019. The book goes into a little bit of detail about what happened during the kidnapping. He basically said he had to balance it, right? He had to give enough details that people understood, but he didn't want to give details where someone with a sick mind would read it.
Right.
And, oh, yeah. He oh also didn't God. Want to set off any victims, right?
Yeah.
So he does go into a little bit of detail. I haven't read the book. I ordered it, but it wasn't available on my Nook. So I had to order a physical copy.
Okay.
But he goes on to write that. It talks about the kidnapping. And then to my understanding, it actually focuses on the aftermath. Jody would later in his life tell ESPN that his father had gone to the airport believing he would die that night. So Gary believed he was going to die that night. He would say that either him or Jeff was going to die. However, Jody says, you know what? He does not regret his decision and states he would do it all over again. Gary would, the father.
Yeah.
As of today, Jody does regard his dad as the greatest dad of all time. Gary did pass in 2014 due to a stroke in his late 60s. So it's like he had a stroke in 2011 and then passed of complications a few years later. Like I said, he was able to forgive him. And they had a great relationship after that. And really, that's the case of Gary Plaget.
I'm glad he was able to forgive his dad, because that would have absolutely crushed me. Because like I said, I understand where little Jody was coming from with his emotions, but I see the dad's sad too, and it's just, I'm glad they were able to work past that and it didn't destroy him.
Yeah, there was one interview where Jody said something about it was hard, but in hindsight, he was kind of a crappy guy. It wasn't hard to get past it.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's my story. I now have company and we're ready for your story, I think. Unless you have more comments.
I don't have more comments. I do have another sneeze in here though.
Okay. You know what? I did have another video, but it was more to show you like, what was the point of this?
Not sure.
Oh, it was a close-up of Gary's face, but Gary Plaget's face. But I think I might already have that picture in here. I don't. I'll get one, though. So, anyways, yeah, that's all.
Yes. So, I have a story that I'm mad. So, I did two stories this week because Friday, I was working on my story, and I've got a haunting, first of all. So, you know, I did some pre-research during the week, which is the fun part where you just watch ghost videos.
That's the beauty of paranormal. You just watch ghost adventures, yeah. Ghost hunters, ghost whatever.
Yeah, anything on those. YouTube. Yeah. So I'd done that, and Friday I started like putting it to paper and actually doing the research. And I think I had about three and a half pages. I was basically done. All I had to do was put the haunts in.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing this on my lunch break. I go back to work and it's just like in the background of my phone. And I opened it like last night to finish it Friday night. The whole thing's gone. Just gone. And that's why I like Google Docs, because it saves as you go. But it's not like, it's not just like half there or whatever. No, the whole document, couldn't find it. Not on the drive, not in the trash. I was like, you're shitting right now. So I said, well, forget that. I'm upset. I'm not going to do a haunting. And then I got another topic, which is a haunting. So,
oh, okay.
Because now I'm
and then bitter. You found your notes, didn't you?
No, still don't know where they are. Oh. I have Googled how to get, you know, like Google Docs that have disappeared. Can't find it anywhere. No idea what happened. but I'm mad about it. So I'll do that haunting eventually. But I have an old jail for you.
Ooh, we like old jails.
I love an old jail. And this is the first old jail I've done. So I'm excited. So this is the old St. John's County Jail. Also known as the old jail for short, which is confusing because this is the new jail, technically. We'll talk. So yeah, Old St. John's County Jail is the oldest jail in the state of Florida. It was built in 1891 by Pauley Jail Company, who they're just this little old company that also built Alcatraz. So no big deal. And it was built on Cordova Street in St. Augustine, Florida. So it was originally built somewhere else in Florida, like just on a different street in St. Augustine. And then Henry Flagler came along. And this guy, he was made of money. He wore like $100 suits, like just made of $100 bills.
He just made it rain, y'all.
Yeah. Like he was an oil tycoon who turned railroad tycoon, who then turned hotel tycoon.
So he's just like the super tycoon.
Yeah. He actually started off with like a salt business that failed miserably. And then he came back and he was like, hold on, let's do oil, and just rocketed.
So he's just like an entrepreneur to the max.
Oh, yeah.
He can do whatever he wants. Exactly. When people say you can do whatever you put your mind to, he took that seriously.
Yeah, Henry Flagler did, which is funny that you should say that, because he looked at that jail and he's like, that's got to go, because he opened the 540-room Hotel Ponce de Leon in St. Augustine in 1885, and he did not like the fact that his customers could see the jail.
It's got to go.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Bye.
And they did.
Because I know the jail was here first, but girl, bye.
He paid the city $10,000 in 1885 to demolish the original jail and just put it somewhere else in the city. Because then, you know, Million Dollar Dorothy, she doesn't want to see criminals when she eats her Eggs Benedict in the morning.
Can you blame Dorothy?
Get real.
What's the conversion?
I'm doing it now. I didn't do it.
Oh my gosh, you're slacking.
Yeah. I always say I love a conversion, and then you ask me, and you're like, I don't know.
You obviously don't love conversions like I thought you did. It's not that serious of a relationship.
Okay, so I got you. $10,000 in 1885 would be $324,268 and 4 pennies today.
Doesn't seem like as much as I thought.
I thought it was going to be more too, but either way, he took a bunch of money and he threw it at the city and he's like, get that shit out of here. And they did. But also, they couldn't just build a new jail. Henry Flagler was like, no. He wanted the jail to fit in with the rest of the buildings in St. Augustine. So
it's about the aesthetic.
Yeah, exactly. He was all about it. So they tear down this jail on Cordova Street and they build another one on San Marco Avenue. And it was built in a Romanesque revival style.
Oh, I love when they start saying Romanesque and revival. I know.
Or Gothic. Everybody.
No, it's just, you know, it's some serious shit then.
It was beyond serious. This jail was so pretty. Thanks to Henry. People thought it was a hotel. And they would just walk in and be like, hey, I want a room. And they're like, this is jail. You have to go. And there's like bars on the window. But they were just like, we got to stay there. So don't know if that was thought out, Mr. Flagler. But
if I walked into a jail today and said, I need a room, they might just be like, all right, come along this way.
Yeah, we'll put you on your dad's floor. It's fine.
Good thing he doesn't work there anymore. Boom. That's more like putting me in the nut house, so.
Girl, you're there, okay?
I'm in the loony bin, as you can hear the child screaming behind me. Cody got home. We were recording this. I got my part done. very peacefully. And then Cody and the boys got home and JJ had to immediately get into my arms. And Leo is very upset he was put down.
Hey, mom's only got so many hands, guys.
Dad didn't hand me Leo, so he's also the one that was screaming when they got home. So he was the one that was like, I need to be in mom's arms. And now he's like, no, but I need to be in mom's arms.
Mom's he's also got two eating. Arms. Scoot over.
Yeah. Scoot a cheek. We can squeeze.
So, okay. St. Augustine used this jail for 62 years. And it was not a great jail. It looked pretty. But the inside was foul. It was... Not only was it the last jail you wanted to be sent to, it would probably be the last jail that you were sent to. It was given multiple citations. You're
not coming out of it alive.
No, exactly. They were given multiple citations for the deplorable conditions inside. And it was the way it was built, it was a 2.5-story building. And the sheriff and his family, they lived there as well. And they lived in the southern wing, which was, they lived in both stories there. Both stories, both floors. That's what I want. Now, in the northern wing, in the two stories there, there was the general population, the maximum security area, death row. That cell was located in the maximum security. There was the women's area, and then there was a kitchen. And in this jail, in this one wing...
That's all on the north side, right?
Right, yeah. And in this one side, there were 72 male prisoners and 12 female prisoners. There was no electricity or running water in this jail. The prisoners used buckets. Well, they used a bucket, actually. There was one bucket. Per cell.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for the whole jail. And I was like, excuse me, invest in a couple buckets, okay? Oh,
no, they had a couple, but not enough for everybody.
How many people were in a cell?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to get to it. So they shared this bucket. They were given no blankets, no pillows. They were given mattresses, but the mattresses were stuffed with Spanish moss. And do you know what loves Spanish moss?
Bugs, I assume.
Oh, yeah. And not just any bug. It was... So in... I don't know if it's just a southern thing or just an American, North American thing. We call them chiggers. I had to really enunciate that because I would never say the other word. But we call them chiggers. They're like red bugs or berry bugs. Those little bitty, like vivid red bugs that bite you and itch. And they're not even bugs. They're like mites, I think.
I don't feel like I've ever seen one, but I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. You never want to see one. Oh, yeah. They were infested with those mattresses. The maximum security cells. Now, these were in the back of the prison. And in the maximum security cells, obviously, you get, that's where the worst of the worst are. That's where also the stockades were, the torture cage, and solitary confinement, which was a room. That was it. There's no bed. No, you already don't get blankets and pillows. They also don't have a mattress. They got nothing. They got four walls, a ceiling, and a floor. The women, they shared two cells.
They shared what cells?
Two.
There were 12?
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of women per cell.
Yeah, and not a lot of buckets. So, yeah. Six women
per cell. They never synced up.
Which, by the way, I did post a photo of some of the original cells that are still there because this is a museum now. They were used from 1891 to 1953 when the jail eventually closed. It literally looks like just iron and concrete. Like in Florida at that, this is just got to be hell.
It sounds like hell.
So the women in these two cells, while they were in jail, they were responsible for the cooking and the cleaning. And they, the whole prison, basically. So not just did they have to cook for the inmates, prison, sorry, jail, whatever. It, both of them suck. Not just the inmates, they had to cook for the sheriff's family too.
I don't know if this is just me, but mm-hmm. as the sheriff and the family, I don't really want the inmates cooking for me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That feels really bold.
I just think about, like, what happens if I piss one of them off one day? I don't even piss off my service workers. Like, did I have a great experience? No, but you're still getting a tip because I'm not going to be mean to you. Don't spit in my food.
Yeah, exactly.
All I'm worried about is spit. What were you guys worried about?
I don't even have to, tuberculosis. I don't even have to piss them off. Like, they're in jail. They're already mad.
Exactly.
Oh, I could just be a scapegoat. No, I don't like it, but I didn't have a say in.
Does it make you uncomfortable?
If that doesn't. Well, do you know what the women, you know, so these 12 women, they're in jail. You know, obviously they stole something. They, I don't know, killed somebody. I don't know what do women do back then. Write bad checks, probably.
They
didn't have a good family name or didn't have a husband. Those were also women could be in jail.
Or they were just on their period. They were PMSing.
Yeah, that too. Oh my God. And they had to share a bucket. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I hope they never picked up.
Ugh. So yeah, some of the women were in there. They didn't even commit crimes. They just weren't popular or weren't married.
They just were women.
Or that. Yeah, that was their first mistake.
Mistake number one, being born a woman. God.
Felt. the male prisoners, they were kept separately, obviously, from the female prisoners. The male prisoners, they shared cells with 4 beds. There were never 4 people in that cell. It was just as many as they could cram.
Can you scoot over 2 inches? I think we can squeeze.
You're past your line, sir. This is my area.
Do you see in the dirt the bug lying here? This is my set of bugs. That's yours.
Sorry, that got me. Oh, and okay. This feels so wrong. The men, okay, so the women had to cook and clean, right? The men, during the day, they were sent to local farms to work because farmers could lease them from the sheriff.
I hate the verbiage, but I knew they could do that.
Yeah, it just feels wrong. When they went to these farms, they were transported in a cage on wheels. They would be shackled together by the ankles, just like you think about, you know, in the old days, bunch of prison workers in the black and white stripes chained together at the ankle, literally what happened. They were sent to work outside for months at a time. They were given no equipment sometimes. Most of the time, they wouldn't give them proper equipment, but like a lot of times, they didn't even have shoes, Bryce. Sent to work on these Florida fields, the devil's butthole fields, with not even shoes. I hate it.
Not even sandals, nothing.
Nothing. Just barefoot.
You know, well, I say that as I'm over here like, well, it might be better to work barefoot than with socks on. Not like that, though. I hate things on my feet. Ugh, get the socks, get the shoes off. I don't want them on my feet.
I hate wet socks.
Cody's over here trying to act like I'm weird, but he agrees.
I mean, who wants wet socks?
Apparently him.
Gross.
He has no idea what we're talking about, but apparently him.
So they were put out in the work all day. When they did go back, they had open wounds from the manacles that they were made to wear. They were rarely allowed to bathe. Because like I said, there's no running water. So
you know what? Me too. I'm lucky if I didn't shower.
I've been there. It gets better, especially if he's going to start sleeping 10 hours at a time. Keep that up.
No, that was only once. That was a fluke.
Oh, they were also, so they were rarely allowed to bathe. They barely ate. They were not given enough food. So what they would do instead was supplement the food that they got in jail with whatever they caught in the farms, whatever little critters they could get their hands on, eat them up.
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
Prisoners typically stayed in this jail for about 2 years, not before they released, before they died, from disease, violence, malnutrition, being hung, and a diaper, pardon me, a doctor or a diaper,
do we know?
Oh my god, what's happening? It was a doctor. It was not a diaper. A doctor would visit the prison occasionally, only when someone was being hung.
Okay.
So, yeah, not important, I guess. In 1941, they finally added plumbing to the jail.
Oh, finally.
Except the women's area. The women's part of
the people that needed the most?
They never got indoor plumbing. All the way up.
What bullshit is that?
They added indoor plumbing in 1941. The jail closed in 1953. They never added it to the women's. It's two cells.
Guys.
I don't understand.
The women need it more.
Yeah. They're the ones cleaning it all. Imagine having to clean every toilet or hole in the floor or whatever it might have been, but having to clean all of those and then coming back and you still have this stupid, disgusting bucket.
Maybe they got extra buckets.
They better.
I'm just saying, you know what, men, they can just whip it out and go pee real quick. Women, I don't think they have the she-wees back then.
I still love the name of that, the she-wee.
All I hear Cody in the back is yell, what?
You don't need to know. It's fine. It's a need to know basis. Even though countless people, we will never know how many people died here, both documented and undocumented, obviously, there were only 8 recorded executions. Only 8 men.
Bullshit.
Well, yeah. Maybe not men. I'm assuming men, but only 8 people hung in this jail. There was Sam Jackson. I could only find 2 specific people. I could only find
names, 2 people.
Yeah. Trustworthy. So there was Sam Jackson. He was hanged in 1908 because he murdered his wife with a straight razor in 1906, 2 years before. He was said to have come close to decapitating her completely with a straight razor. I know those things are sharp, but like, it's a person's neck. Oh, okay. Charlie Powell, he was hanged in 1910. He was accused of killing a man for spreading rumors about his wife.
I mean, he's defending his wife.
And that's like, imagine though, because the women are in prison. Because they don't have a husband. This feels messed up in so many ways. And not all the women, granted, but like they did go to jail for that. It was possible. So what if they hung him for defending his wife and then she goes to jail because now she doesn't have a husband because y'all killed him?
You better marry quick.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. On execution days, people flocked to this jail. There were people climbing telephone poles to get a good view of the executions. It's just a different time completely. They didn't have the movies back then. And to combat this, the jail would eventually stop announcing the specific time that they were supposed to hang the person. And they just started being vague because otherwise people would just hang out all day. So they would say, you know, between the hours of 11 and 3, this is going to happen. That way, at least they're not just hanging out from dawn until dusk.
I mean, I guess do what you want, right?
I don't know. Like, maybe they're all asking for rooms. I don't know, because they think it's a hotel. So you already got this crowd, and now you've got even more people coming in being like, hey, can I get a room? And they're like, we don't have any. We, like, not only...
You want to share a bucket with the women?
Yeah, that's my point. Like, not only is this not a hotel, like, we don't have room. We got six people to a cell. Calm down.
And only one bucket.
Yeah. Bring your own bucket and maybe we can talk about it. But, like, B-Y-O-B. You're not... Yeah. You still don't get to keep the bucket. You just need it to get in.
It's like a donation. You bring it in, yeah. It's not coming out. And you might not use the bucket while you're here. You might have to use the communal one.
Yeah. Look, actually, you bring it in and neither of you are coming out. Like, you're both just stay here forever.
Mm-hmm.
After the jail closed in 1953, it was bought by H.L. McDaniel. He bought it and turned it into a museum. This dude was, I feel like he was way ahead of his time, okay? Because he was described as an early tourism pioneer. This guy bought this jail, fixed it up a little bit, turned it into a museum, and he added a couple things that weren't common in museums at the time, like mannequins dressed up in prison stripes in the rooms. He added gallows.
Add a touch of realism.
And he did. He brought the gallows back and the courtyards. There's old pictures online of people like posing in the stockades as like a little photo op. If he was alive today, he would actually buy the LaLaurie Mansion and be like ghost hunting it out.
He'd be like, you dumb bitches, let's go.
Yeah, like, look at this untapped mine you're just sitting on.
You're like, get in, loser, we're going shopping for a haunted house.
Bring the mannequins.
Bring the ghost with. Okay, bring, you know what, even better yet, get someone that'll do some demon summoning, just so we can be sure.
Yeah, like, we're gonna get these people there's money for. It's okay.
Yeah.
That quarter, we're gonna earn it.
He's like, a quarter only? Hell no.
This is 2024.
This is 2024. $6,000 per guest per visit.
Per night, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to go in? You got to pay.
People would do it, honestly. People would do that. For the LaLaurie Mansion, I highly believe people would.
Oh, I know.
Without a doubt.
He'd be like, Zach Bagans, $1 million. You can come investigate.
Also, would probably do it.
No, he would in a heartbeat, like, in a million
heartbeat. Yeah,
here's your cash million. Check, sir. Where can I? When can I be there? I'll be there tonight. Yeah,
I would watch it.
Oh, he would also be like, I want part of the proceeds from this episode.
Yeah, that's just good business.
He's not a dummy, obviously. No, we already talked about him. He's entrepreneur extraordinaire.
He sold the jail, H.L. McDaniel, he sold the jail to Melvin Bayer in 1986. And Bayer was like, hold my beer. He spent $95,000 renovating this place. He added a gift shop, a restaurant, a snack bar, like...
A this snack is bar? A I'm sold.
Snack bar, right?
I am sold. This like, place there's is a restaurant to... and a snack bar. Like, you get.
Yes.
Are you just peckish? Grab something from the bar. You need a full-on meal? Go to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. You can come here, get lunch at the snack bar, do your ghost investigation, because it's like, they give you equipment and stuff when you investigate here. It's wild. And then you can just saunter on over to the restaurant. Bring the whole family. It's fine.
It's a good Friday night activity, okay?
Yeah, it's a whole compound now.
Bring your first date here.
Would go. 10 out of 10. Let's go.
Done. Me and Amanda, honestly, our first play date together, we're going to a haunted restaurant.
What a great first date. Probably, maybe. I would imagine. Because, like, imagine the story. And if it works out, you can tell your grandkids, oh, what was your first date? We just, like, you know, ghost hunted. Something touched my neck. No big deal.
We fell in love over the EVP machine. Our eyes met.
In the glow of the flashlight flicking on and off.
To the sound of the phantom footsteps.
He kissed me in the laser grid.
You'll never understand how romantic it was.
Hold on, we should put that in a book. Someone would buy that.
Okay, TM, TM, TM.
Yeah, that was our idea. Okay, so now it's owned by Historic Tours of America. They bought the property in 1999. And, okay, so now the good part, right? Do you know this place is haunted?
Oh, for sure.
It's haunted as shit, okay? It's, there are multiple spirits seen here. And is not just shadows, like full body operations.
Full body operations. What are we playing? Is this like Scrabble? That's not a word. You don't get the points.
Look, I was in the heat for a long time today. In the heat that they told me literally don't go into.
Fried your brain.
Full bodied apparitions. They see orbs, mists. The crawler.
Is this a crawling ghost?
Yeah. It's in solitary confinement. It's apparently not friendly. Does not like to be bothered. I mean, you're in jail forever. But can you blame it, really? There's also an older man whose spirit's attached to a jacket that hangs on a coat rack in one of the rooms. And it was described as living in this coat. And they had, I can't remember the name, but you know the little video cameras that make the stick people?
Yeah.
Those cameras will detect him, like, hanging, like, in the jacket, just kind of, like, hanging out. And at first...
He does it because he thinks it's hilarious.
I mean, it kind of was kind of funny, because the video I saw, he, like, tipped his non-hat? Tipped what would he be his hat at somebody? So, is... He sounds great.
Like our kind of pal if he was alive now.
You tip your hat at me and like, okay, we can chill. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. People that visit, guests at the... Am I okay? Let me get some water.
I know you're not, because I know what happened before we started recording.
And it was rough. I would have enough time. Okay.
I told you, you wouldn't have enough time.
Yeah, figured I wouldn't. But I do have blackberry water from Sonic. No, it's not. It's raspberry. I'm going to drink some more water.
Are you okay?
Mm-mm. Not at all.
I'm trying to let you say that it's the heat that fried your brain, and I know that's not what's fried your brain.
People that live near the old jail and the guests that visit and investigate, they hear loud, clunky noises, kind of like chains being like dragged or banged around. They hear footsteps. They hear dogs barking. And they're like coming from the jail. They're not coming from like the direction, you know? It's not like, okay, which of these neighbors' damn dog won't shut up? It's coming from the jail. And one of the sheriffs was known to keep like a family pet dog. They didn't have, like, the cops didn't have dogs or whatever, but the sheriff's family did.
They were dog people.
I mean, you gotta have somebody in a jail to talk to, and I would rather it not be an inmate. Yeah.
I'd rather it be a dog.
Yeah, 100%. Hell, today I would rather it be a dog. Anytime I leave my house.
out in public, I'd rather it be a dog.
Honestly, yeah. 100%.
At home, rather it be a dog. Unless they're also shitting all over the boys' room.
Yeah. If my doorbell rings, I really hope it's a dog. And it never is. It never is.
Really unfortunate.
They hear wails and moans coming from solitary confinement and maximum security. They hear a little girl's voice in the sheriff's quarters.
Oh, I was going to say, that's not comfortable. Why is there a little girl? But sheriff's quarters. Okay.
guests report hearing somebody whistle at them.
Like catcall? Like, woo woo.
Yeah.
I can't whistle, so I wasn't going to. Oh.
It picked up the whistle I didn't want it to pick up. Okay, I give up. It's not. But yeah, everybody knows the whistle. There's
the woo woo.
This I kind of love. They hear a dastardly laugh coming from the women's cell.
It's Oliver. Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
Mill's little boyfriend over there.
Why is he in the great women's evil cell?
I don't know. You said women's cell after I said it was Oliver. Okay.
There's a lot of people that write in about EVPs. They hear like very clear words, names, like specific names, just a whole mess of stuff. People smell sewage in this place quite often.
That doesn't surprise me.
Being that, you know, there was no sewage or place to put it, at least there's plenty of sewage. They also smell a sickeningly sweet smell, which is described as molasses boiling on a stove. I don't know what that smells like, but if you ever boil molasses, that's what they smell here.
Now I want to boil molasses just to see.
I mean, yeah, let's do it. We'll do that. And then we'll have pancakes after. People feel cold spots, changes in energy. They're touched on the shoulder by a cold hand. People get their hair pulled. This makes me nauseous. People report feeling someone blow on them as they walk by, like the cells.
That's just rude.
I hate it so much. I don't think I've ever read that before. Why are you doing that? Stop it.
I say that, but anytime Leo's having a panic and he's just screeching for no, he won't take his binky, he won't take a bottle, I just blow in his face.
Do you blow directly in his mouth?
No, just on his face in general.
Oh. I blow in there, like, directly in their mouth. Just like, shut up. Stop it.
I don't do directly in his mouth for cootie purposes right now. But also, I already know. If I have cooties, they have cooties. If they have cooties, I have cooties. They're around me all the time.
Yeah. They do that. I would say it gets easier, but
it's going to get worse with cooties. I already know it.
Yeah. I do have a couple of specific, just a couple, because I could have gone on for days. So I have grabbed a few specific instances of reports that I read in the reviews on Google. Seriously, you could read those for days. One person who went on the tour, they claimed to have spoken with a man named Robert Lee, who was wrongly executed for murder, even though there was evidence in his case proving his innocence. And he even, Robert Lee, used this person's name multiple times while talking to him.
Huh.
Another guest said that during their investigation, they spoke with two women, May, a cook, and Sarah, a mother of twins that was in jail. And Sarah was said to really enjoy hearing about the guest's dog and seeing pictures that she brought up on her phone. They said that the EMF detector just went crazy nuts, just lit up. When I was like, oh,
she's probably sweet. Young.
Yeah. Women seem to be touched here a lot. It was a jail. On their necks, arms, legs.
Butts.
Yeah. Boobs. Yeah, they're no-no zones. Yeah. And, okay, I'm going to end with this. And I have one specific Google review that I just want to read to you. I'm just going to read the whole thing. This is from your mom, Clever, 4 months ago. Pretty recent. Me and my grandma were the only people in the group. I was targeted and felt a severe pain in my neck. The guide asked who was touching me, and the word puncture came through the spirit box. She took a picture of my neck, and you could very clearly see not one, but two orbs near where it hurt. I sadly don't have the picture. I saw shadowy figures in death row, solitary, and the infirmary. I believe I was followed home because around Christmas, I was seeing tall, dark shadows in the corners and the foot of my bed. I felt breathing on my neck and I felt like I was touched. 10 out of 10 would do it again.
And that's my reminder why we don't go to haunted places. They can follow you home. Okay. Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, yeah, there were a lot of people that did say, like, when they left, they were very clearly like, you can't come with me. You're not invited. A lot of people prayed. But when you visit here, it's a full-on investigation. Like, they provide, there was stuff on that list. I didn't even know what it was. Like, top of the line,
you
they're like,
Googling here. What it was.
Yeah, here, take it, go for it. I don't care. You can go with a tour guide or you can go on your own. It sounds awesome. And people were talking about the stuff they saw regardless of whether they went at night or in the day. This place is wild.
I'm not going.
You
can't go either because you've got ghost issues of your own. You don't want to bring one home.
No, they're not allowed home. I don't really want them in the car with me for that long either. That doesn't sound fun.
Unless you fly and they just get on the airplane with you.
What if I fly and they can't keep up?
Why couldn't they keep up?
I don't know. How do ghosts follow you? Is it just like a little ghosty trailing behind the plane? They're going to trail me the whole way home?
I assume they get on the plane with you. Just like they would in the car. They get in the car with you.
Hate it. I don't like it.
JJ, we don't allow ghosties here. We say any ghosties that may be here are not welcome and they can leave. They must leave. Oh, he's winding up to cry.
Ah, okay.
I like it, but I also don't like it.
Yeah, that's one of those places where it's just like, dang, it would be really fun to go there, but also like,
I'm good. Well, I don't need to be possessed.
Yeah. What if we just go eat at the restaurant?
And the snack bar. We just want the snack bar and the restaurant.
That's all. We'll just go do that and we'll look at the jail.
Okay. I think we can do that. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our plans for the old St. John's County Jail.
My dad's still going to say no.
He can say that. That's okay.
All right. Thank you all for listening to Helen Heels Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Helen Heels Podcast, X Helen Heels Pod, or Facebook by searching Helen Heels Podcast. You can find us on Linktree by typing in Helen Heels Podcast. If you want to support us, please like, review, rate, share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you want to take your support one step further so we can create additional content for you, you can donate through Patreon, where we're working really specials for our patrons. If you have your own true crime, paranormal stories, suggestions, or words of encouragement, please email us at helenheelspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tell your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I was going to say, for anybody wondering, Bryce was really battling a cry there. We could see it building, and she was trying to really get all that out before the dam broke.
It's breaking. It's not broken yet, huh? It's not broken yet. Oh, poor boy. I think I got him calmed down again.